Morning, everyone. I'm glad to be here. I guess we want the Lord here this morning. We need His help abundantly to be able to proclaim the message we have on our heart. Two of the songs will go right with the message this morning, 319, I think it was. And then the other 484, maybe. But I have something different. I have preached this at times through the years. I don't know exactly when the Lord gave it to me the first time. It's been a number of years ago. But to me, it's an important message that needs to be preached by pastors, evangelists, occasionally, to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Because it's very, very important for the simple reason because souls are at stake. And the world looks on lives of mankind as very important, and they are. But your soul is your most important. And I got to thinking, I've never thought this before, that I remember... I have a daughter that's a flight medic. She's been in that for about 5-6 years, and then she was a regular paramedic on the floor, on the ground, so to speak, for about 5 or 6 years. First, you've got to have so much experience before you can step up. And so I called Donna, and I said, Donna, I said, when the call comes in, I said, what happens? So she told me, basically, said the call comes in, it comes through 911, or maybe directly to the deal, and lets them know that there's a need. There's been a plane crash. There's been a car wreck. There's a house fire. Whatever it might be. And those people, they go into action. They don't just sit around and twiddle their thumbs. They move, and they move fast. Because life is at stake. And I told Donna here a while back, when a young lady had gotten killed head on, it was a doctor's daughter is what it was, and she got in a head on car wreck, best I remember, and she was killed right there. They couldn't get there fast enough. Donna has been to places where she's picked people up and she's rushed them and they've died before she got them to the hospital. That hurts. That hurts. And so they move, and they move quickly. You know the sirens on top. You know the blades that move. And they're there to protect, to save, to help, to work in every way. One time there was a policeman or a sheriff, one that was shot. Him and a man got into a deal, and the man actually was able to shoot around the protective vest that the sheriff had, and it killed him. He was a young man, well liked. They said there was hundreds and hundreds of people at his funeral. Donna was with the one that done the shooting and killed him, the criminal, and there was another girl barely beat her there that was working with the policeman. And Donna, she was so upset about it, she was chewing that man out up one side and down the other. I mean, she was not happy that she had actually shot him. They didn't think they was going to save that man, and they didn't. But the bottom line is, go. Go ye. Go ye quickly. Do what you need to do. Save every person you can save as far as physically. Get them into a position where you can minister. When she went to work for the flight medic, she told me, she said, we have a pilot. We have an RN, and we have me. And I go, Donna, you're not an RN. I said, why do they need you on that aircraft? She said, for the bottom line, Dad, I can do what the RNs can't. I am trained in certain things that RNs are not trained. And one thing that aggravates her, she gets a person stabilized, gets them in as good a condition as she could get them in, to get them to the hospital. They rush them in. They get them in a room. The doctor's not right there. The nurse says, Donna said, nurse, you need to do this. You need to do that. And nurse says, I can't do it without the doctor's okay. Oh, again, that don't set good with my daughter. But the bottom line is, go ye. All right, let's go to Mark 16:14, please. Let's read there in 28 and 16 of Matthew. And desire your prayers. Afterward, he appeared unto the leaven as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized should be saved, but he that believeth not should be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. All right, Matthew then, the 28th chapter here, and the 16th verse. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came, and he spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Go ye. Now I know this right here is basically directed to the ministry. I know that. But the bottom line is we need you too. Everybody in this congregation is important. Every congregation needs more members. We don't have a congregation that's too big yet. Prague has grown 3 times since I left. The main reason it has is because of the tent meeting we started in 2011. That meeting has resonated in one of the best meetings in the country that I know of, and I've worked all over. And it has resonated into something that people have come. They had a congregation, they had a building, they had a pastor, they had everything they needed. And in 2015, things started moving. The walls started cracking, so to speak. And they let it be known, we're going to come over and be with you all. And they did. And now then, there are about 125 people in that congregation. I told Brother Ed, I said, you all got about the biggest congregation in the country. He goes, I never thought of that. I said, well, I'm out there. I know. I've been there here and there. There's some others that's close, I think, but I don't think anybody's the biggest preg that I know of. But the bottom line is, you've got to go. You've got to tell people. You're like the song said, go and tell them of Jesus. Tell him of the love. Tell him of the mercy. Tell him of the saving power. And he's telling them right here. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, I'm not saying everybody's a preacher in here. That's not my point. But all of us can pass out tracts. We can make phone calls and invite people. We can go knocking on doors. We can hand out handbills. Well, there's several things that you all can do. You're a part of this. It's not all the ministry. We can't do everything. Brother Bob and I and Brother Willie is limited to what we can do. I mean, we can do all we can do. But the bottom line, as a group, we can reach further out. We can go further. We can do more. We can help people more. We can invite people and do things that cannot be done otherwise. Go ye. Are you going? Are you telling? Now, what's the most valuable possession that you and I have to deal with? The soul. Now, what is the most important job that you can do? So when Christ came, what did he think was important? How did he work at it? I'm not going to turn to these scriptures, but John 4:34 and John 17:4. One of those, if I remember right, said, lift up an eyes unto the fields that are white to harvest or something like that. In other words, even he was looking, it's out there, children, go do it. Don't just sit around. Don't just sit on your laurels, so to speak. Get out there and go to work. Make the invitation. Bring the people in. We need to get them saved. Don and M's deal is they've got to have somebody there to help as quick as possible. She was called to a place of an apartment down south of my house and a little bit to the west. And she went in there and the girl said, I've been stabbed in the chest. Donna said she couldn't even see no blood. So she got her clothes to where she could get to her heart and chest area. And she got there and she looked and she saw a little bitty slit right in somewhere in here. And what the knife that the woman used is what I call a vegetable knife or tomato knife. It's not a very big blade, but it evidently was sharp and it went in and it punctured a wall of that girl's heart. Donna scooped her up, put her in the ambulance and rushed her to the hospital and they lost her. And that girl that killed her was, I guess she got time for that. I don't remember all about that if Don ever told me. But the bottom line is, go. Look out there. See the people. If you need a burden, if you need somebody by the Lord to help you to have a greater burden for the lost world, listen, folks, we're at what I call the end of time. I don't think time's going to go much longer. And consequently, the sin, the corruption, all the things that are happening means that you and I ought to do everything we can do to get souls in, to bring them to the Lamb of God, to let them know. Oh, he prayed all night. He went from place to place. He preached to them. He taught them, healed them, saved them, fed them. He blessed their children. He attended a wedding. Christ done it. He was right there. He didn't just sit around. He accomplished 4 and 3.5 years than all the rest of us will ever accomplish. And the reason was he was connected with the Father in such a spirit that the Father and him was communicating and go here. Let's go over here. Let's do that. And he went and he done. He had the apostles and he told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So why did he do it? Did he go from place to place? Why did he go from place to place? He created man in his own image. He loved man. Man has a soul and will spend eternity in heaven or hell. So why should we go? Because of the same burden. Our love for man and his soul. People are dying by the thousands every hour. How many of you can tell me how many people die an hour around the world? Over 6,000 something people die an hour. There's over 150,000 people perish in a 24-hour people around the world. That's a lot of people. That alone is bigger than many, many towns in this whole country. I've been through hundreds of towns, I guess. And there are many, many I've gone through that didn't have 150,000. Shawnee don't even have 150,000. It's got about 35,000. I think Enid's bigger. I think you're about 50, 60,000 up here. But the bottom line is, we need to get a mindset of go. Well, I can't do this or I can't do that. Do what you can do. Everybody will do something. It will help be beyond doing nothing. So Lord, help us this morning to go. Go because of the burden of Christ. Because he was doing it. He said he wants us to go. Now we're taught by our parents from a young age to go. And that goes with us through life and the natural things. But the Lord wants us to do his bidding, us to go also. How are you and I doing? Oh, today, we're going to build a congregation. You're going to have to start with praying. From that, you're going to have to go to fasting. Then you're going to have to start inviting people and come be with us. I found out, I didn't know this till recently, and I don't know when my brother started, but Craig has got a morning, Thursday morning, at Simone's restaurant there in Shawnee, or Guthrie. They meet there and they have breakfast. And he said, Carl, my whole intent is to try to enlarge the congregation. Now then, Guthrie is one of the larger congregations in this nation. But there's more souls out there. He named one or two that I know personally. Brother Ivan and him was talking the other night. And Brother Ivan said, can I come? Sure. Craig said, I walked in, Carl, and sat down. Said, Brother Ivan's coming in the door. Right behind him, 6:45 a.m. in the morning. He wanted to be there and said it was a hit. They accepted him and he said, I can come back, sure. Want you to come. Want you to be with us. Oh, Brother Ivan is trying to help Guthrie. I'm all behind that. I've been there, done that. Know what it's like, so to speak. And the bottom line is, he wants to help people too. We must invite to meeting family, relative, friends, neighbors, people we work with, business associates, people we meet at stores and businesses. We need to pass out tracts. There's a meeting, pass out tracts and meeting invitations. Congregations have been started by having cottage prayer meetings at homes. The Dayton congregation started by having prayer meetings, cottage prayer meetings years and years ago. Now then, there's going to be time, and I'm going to get into that a little bit, but there's going to be times you're going to get weary. There's going to be times it's going to look like there's no hope. There's going to be times that maybe you want to sit down and cry. Lord, I'm doing all I can do and nothing's working. The bottom line is the Bible said pray and don't faint. Don't quit. Pray ye and pray on. Keep doing, keep working. Listen, we can't get people in if we don't invite them, if we don't let them know. Listen, when they come in this chapel, show them love. Show them all the love you can. Somebody said, well, you need to be back there, Pastor, and you need to be with them. Listen, folks, I've been up at Guthrie's particularly, and I've been there and right up here, and there have been so many people around me, I couldn't get anywhere. I said, you guys need to go talk to them. You tell them we're glad you're here. You show them love. I'll get there if I can. But the bottom line is the devil will take advantage of everything he can. And if we don't show them love, somebody else will. Oh, Lord, help us. All right, let's move on a little further. John 15 and 16. John 15 and 16. This is a powerful verse here. It said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And I've ordained you that you should go and bring more fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask and ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Fruit. How many of us like fruit? Fruit is a popular thing. There's thousands and thousands, well, probably millions of boxes of fruit sold every year. And it's something that is good for the body. And lots of people eat more of it than others. But on the spiritual side, he said, bring forth fruit. You should go and bring forth fruit. In other words, our lives should bring forth something that is inviting people, that will get their attention, that will help them to say, that's the same. Well, he lives different. She lives different. I don't know anybody that lives like they do. That ought to be something right off the beginning that your life and my life will resonate a life of holiness and righteousness and get their attention. Help them to see there's something I want to be. Look at the peace they have. Look at the joy, the bubbling. I like what you do every morning, Brother Galen. I kind of do that myself. I let Molly know, good morning, dear. However I say, you know, not everything. I don't always say the same thing every morning. But the bottom line is, you're doing something that helps people to see. So first, we want to have fruit. We want to produce fruit. We want to have the best fruit we can have. We don't want just anything. We want a fruit that will be a blessing to people everywhere. Let's go to Acts now, the 20th chapter. Acts 20 and about the 18th verse, 20 and 18. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was proper unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go, bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men. An evangelist's burden is souls. And Paul here was a great evangelist. He done things that probably some of the rest of us will never do. I probably will never be in a deep. I probably will never be whipped like he was or anything like that. But the bottom line is, he said, I'm serving with humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the line and weight of the Jews. But I kept back nothing that was proper unto you. In other words, I told you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But I have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. But it goes on down, it said, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, we don't teach that you just go join the church of your choice. The bottom line is, when we go out there, now here's the thing, we must use wisdom. You don't want to just overfeed people the first time you see them, maybe, or invite them. In other words, be very careful, and Lord help me here, be very careful with lots of love and so forth. Like I say, a track and an invitation or whatever, or a call or whatever, you don't have to preach them a message. You just basically need, at the time, to let them know, we want you to come to meeting. We need you in our services. And so, but then he said here that he let them know, and also to the Greeks, repentance. We need to let them know in time, whether it be you or the ministers out of the pulpit or in the pulpit, and that there's going to need to be some repentance. That they're going to have to repent of the sins, repent of the things they've done toward God in Christ, and have faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Got to have both of them right there to get a person up and out of the melodrums of sin and get them on a solid rock. The rock, the one that Christ has for you and I to be on. And now behold, I go bound. Now then, another thing he didn't let. There have been times that things can startle you a little bit. The Lord may be leading you to do something and you, are you sure, Lord? Lord, now we won't be, you pray till you know for a fact that the Lord wants you to go there. There's different ways of doing that. You can have set out a fleece, so to speak, or things. But he said, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to go. I'm not going to stop. I'm going. I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. Lord, help us. Don't allow the devil to scare us into backing up when the Lord's saying, I would like you to go do this, or I would like you to go do that. Go do it, child. I need you. Go out there and give that track. Go out there and give the faith and victory, an older faith and victory. Go out there and do this and do that. The bottom line, let them know, come, we want you to be with us. They need to know that there's a way to heaven, and that way is through repentance unto God. All right, let's go to Matthew 22. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, first verse. There's a little bit of reading here. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. They would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. They made light of it. They went their ways, one to the farm, another to the merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. When the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, their wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Now then, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and they gathered together all as many as they found, both good and bad, or bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment, and he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him to outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. I don't know that you know it. In Oklahoma City, there used to be a very special restaurant and, I guess, club. And this place, you had to dress a certain way to even get in the door. You couldn't walk in a pair of regular shirt and a pair of blue jeans. You had to have a suit on. And I suppose a tie, I guess. But anyway, if you didn't at least have the coat and dress where you could have the coat, they had coats hanging on the rack that would fit you, and you had to wear that coat. There was no way out of it. Brother Louis and Sister Bonden told me down in Houston, they had a family member down there. They was going to take them to a restaurant, the same type of deal. And they said, you had to wear a coat. Now, Brother Louis was not a real staunch dresser, so to speak. I'm not saying he never wore any dress clothes. But he wasn't like some people. So God said, well, I think he had to have a suit coat. Had to get it off the rack and put it on. Now then, he said here that there's got to be a wedding garment. The wedding is ready. And they went out. Go ye therefore the highways, as many as find. Bid them to the marriage. In other words, get messy, children. Do and invite and do as much as you can do, as fast as you can do. I've got this ready to go, and I want the people to be invited unto this marriage. Well, you put a spiritual application to that. And he's talking about bringing people to Christ, bringing people in to get saved and so forth. And then the king came in and saw the guests. He saw a man that had not on the wedding garment. Why, friend, how camest thou in hither not having? How? And he was speechless. Now then, like I said, repentance. But the people got to know that they've got to be fully ready. In gently working, I was sitting in family, and somebody made a statement. And I made a statement. I said, there's what you call no-so salvation. In other words, you know that when you're getting ready to die, you're ready to go. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. You know you're saved, you're sanctified, you know that you have peace with God, you know you're ready to die, and the Lord called you. That's the type of salvation that the Bible teaches. A type of salvation that has us to the place, no matter what happened. There have been people that have been killed instantly. There have been people that's dropped dead instantly. There have been people that have been killed in car wrecks and so forth, and they were gone. They didn't have a chance to repent. They didn't have a chance. Listen, do you realize that there's a number of young people right up here in this area, not right here in Eden. I'm talking about two or three states here, where the people have either dropped dead or been killed or had heart attacks or something that has happened anywhere from 19 years on up to about 30-some years old. They looked like everything fine. They were gone. Lorenzo, Louisiana has lost more people in about a year and a half than any congregation I know of in the country. Brother Bob, when you and I was at Guthrie, we had about six of them die from November to May. And Sepulpa Road had a group, a number of them die rather quickly, well, I say quickly, over a period of time. And I warned the congregation, I said, listen, folks, this could happen to us too, and it did, and it didn't. It wasn't very long after that the things started happening. We had one funeral right after another. People can die quickly. For you and I to go to heaven, there's got to be holiness. There's got to be the repentance. But we've got to know that it's a no-so salvation. We have the wedding garment on. We're ready to go. We are holiness unto the Lord. We have the blood washed. We have the white pureness. We have everything we need. Where that if we were to get killed and step out into eternity, we'd be ready to go. So we must teach them this. Again, we have to use wisdom in this. But go and tell them. Let them know you can go to heaven. Let them know that this is not just we're just playing games. Let them know that the Bible said thus and so. Learn your scriptures. Learn over in 1 John, I believe it is 3, where it talks about sin and so forth, and then other places, repentance, and different places, what the Lord set up. You must be born again, he told Nicodemus. These are the things that the Bible teaches. These are the things that you and I want to put out there gently and let them know that this is the way you go to heaven. This is the way you have peace with God. And I told the family, I said, there's a no-so salvation. I said, that's what you need. My brother-in-law sitting there on my right, and I don't remember what he said. He made some kind of comment. I don't remember now what it was. And then later he said, well, he said, if you can help me on this line, help me. I said, all right, I'll write you a letter. And this finger right here so messed my writing up for about 2 to 3 months now. I've got everything set out. All I got to do is put it into penmanship and write it to him. And he probably thinks Carl forgot all about it, but I hadn't. The bottom line is he's got a soul. And the bottom line is I want to see him make heaven. The bottom line is I want to see him have victory over the devil and sin and corruption. The same way with his wife. His wife claims to be saved. And I guess he does in a way, but it caught him, I think, off guard when I said, no, so salvation. Something that's knowledgeable. Listen, folks, it ain't worth much if it's not a no-so salvation. You and I are not going to have what we need to have if we're going around just faking it all the time. All right, let's go to 8 and 26 of Acts. 8 and 26. You know the story. Let's see, 8 and 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south into the way which goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose. Now listen to this writing in here. Listen. This is the Lord sending a man from a very good meeting. Things were happening to the glory of God. People were getting delivered. People were getting blessed and so forth. And then he said, I want you to go down to the desert. And I want you to go down there. And he arose and he went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither. He didn't mess around. This is important. I've got to do it right now. And he ran thither to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said to him, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He got to the very core of the situation. And as they went on their way, they came into central water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now then, folks, to be honest with you, and I could be wrong on this, but I don't think I'm too far off. Every preacher likes people to preach to. But this was, he was sinning. He didn't even know what he was doing at first. He was going to the desert. Now, number one, desert is not appealing to a lot of people. But to go to the desert, I'm leaving all of this, Lord, and you want me to go to the desert? Yeah, I want you to go to the desert. Okay. So he went. And he found the one person. Well, he'd gone and they spoke to him and told him, go join yourself. So one person, And he went and he done exactly what the Lord needed him to do. And he worked with that man. He preached unto him, Jesus, so to speak. And everything went real well. One person. Now then, if the Lord sent you and you knew you was going to one person, would you go? Lord help us. I've traveled all the way from Oklahoma to Chattanooga, Tennessee on the side of a mountain. Their brother Beta's sister, Mary Rogers, and I preached unto her, one person. Hundreds of miles to go preach to one person. She wanted me to come, bless her heart. She wanted me there. And Rebecca and I, we went. And you know, the Lord had mercy and blessed one person. I'm going to tell you, Jesus with one person is better than a whole congregation with no person, with no Jesus. And so consequently, there he went. He done that. Listen, don't let any smallness of the situation hold you from doing what the Lord wants you to do. If he tells you to go, and you know it's going to be to one person, or maybe even two or three, or maybe to one family, go. Do what the Lord leads you to do. Give what the Lord gives you to give. Right here, a number of years ago, I was in a revival. And one night during the revival, and it had been set up before we called for the revival, so we just let it be where it was at. There was either a baby shower or a wedding shower down south of here in Edmond or Oklahoma City or somewhere. And quite a few of the congregation went. And there was people there, and the Lord gave me a message of that night, and I looked at the whole congregation. I thought, every one of them in here saved. What do we need to preach this for? But I got up and I preached it anyway. I couldn't get out of it. The Lord said, I want that. And I preached it. And Sister Fern and Brother Alton was here at that time. And I said something to them. She said, you was right on target, young man. There was a person there that was unsaved. Lord had been dealing with him for quite a while, and I had no idea. Listen, folks, God knows the heart of every person. He knew this unique. He knew that heart. He has zeroed into everybody that's reaching out after him and all those that's not. He's calling after their hearts. And he wants you and I to be there and go. It's valuable. They're valuable. Go, children, go. Wants you to go out there and give the Bible, give Jesus. Let them know that God loves you and Christ died for you. Go, let them know that. One person. One person. Lord help us. Lord help us to do the smallest of deals. I have given out and others have. I believe Brother Frankie was one of them. And there's been others, not just us two. But we have put, I don't have any idea how many tracts I have put out through the years in restrooms and places. I don't do it anymore because they're not really being printed like they were. So I don't do it, but Sister Dina told me, said, Brother Carl, we got quite a few tracks. If somebody needs tracks, let us know. Let them know. Said, come check with us. We've got tracks. I said, okay. But the bottom line is, the smallest of things for the Lord is big. You say, well, Brother Carl, just pass it. Listen, there has been tracks that have helped people find Christ. There was a man that had read a track. No, he had the track in his pocket, I believe it was. And the Lord was dealing with him, and he was going to do something. If I remember right, he was going to commit suicide. And he read this track, and this track dealt with him in such a way that he totally changed his mind and didn't do it and got saved. Tracks are valuable. Faith and Victory is valuable. Different things are valuable of the Lord. And so consequently, we need to point people and give people things and put things in their hand. And it may look like it's a very small deal. One person. One person. But that one person make heaven is a big thing. It's a big thing. It's something that you and I'm happy to get one person to heaven. If I know that whoever's been involved and they've gotten saved and they've made heaven and they could have been lost, I am most blessed to know that they made it. No matter who of us done it, no matter how many or how few, the bottom line is that person made heaven. Lord, help us today to not shrink back from one, to not shrink back from two or three, or even a whole family or whatever. There was a sister pastor's wife. And I guess I understood it that there was a group of houses, a subdivision. And the a member of the congregation, her husband and wife, and I guess children lived back here, and the minister's wife lived up a little closer up here. But that minister's wife was felt strong to go visit that person. So she went. And she sat down with that man's wife, and they visited and talked, and so they ended up with prayer, and I don't know what all about it, but she told me I went back home, and she said, I got a call. And she said, you don't know what that visit meant. You don't know how valuable it was, how blessed it was. You don't know how much it helped me. You think, well, I don't. All I'm doing is this. The bottom line is you can be right on target, and you need to go. You need to help those in the congregation. You need to go help those that are in sin. You need to go help those that need help from God. Go. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel. Put it out there. Don't hold back. Let it be known that Jesus died. And you can be born again. You must be born again. All right. Let's go to Luke 7. Luke 7 and 19. Luke 7 and 19 here. 18. The disciples of John shewed him of all these things. And John, calling to him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist, has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, evil spirits cast out. Unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said to them, go your way. Tell John. Tell him now what things that you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, our testimonies are powerful. You may think, well, mine's just a little old testimony. And old testimonies can be very, very powerful. Yes. Very powerful. And so consequently, we need to know and we need to share what God has done for the people. Let them know that, well, I know of a person that was way down in the depths of sin and this, and the Lord delivered them and brought them up and gave them a real life of peace. Had a man. He was kind of in my congregation one time. But anyway, this man's wife was bound by cigarettes. Bad. And he and I was talking one day, and he said, Carl said, we've tried everything, and nothing's helping her. I said, Joe, I said, have you ever told her what Jesus can do, what he's done for others? And maybe name two or three that I know of their testimony, what God had done to deliver them, how he delivered them, the better way to put it. And he said, I've never done that. I said, tell her. Let her know Jesus can do what nothing else can do. Listen, those people get desperate. People commit suicide because they get desperate. They can't get no help. But there is help in the very blood of Jesus Christ and his power to deliver from sin and to do things nothing else can do, praise God. He can do it so quick their mouths will fly open. He can do it so quick they'll be in utter amazement. He can raise them up and out of the most horrible pit and set them on the solid rock, and they can be rejoicing and praising God and be redeemed. Yes, amen. Let them know. Tell them. Go tell John. This is what you saw. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deep hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. In other words, I'm covering every base. Let John know it's me, Jesus Christ the righteous. Brother Michael Smith was in, I believe, Pakistan, somewhere over there. Ryan Blaze, to be honest with you, I'd want to know the Lord was sending for. I'd go. Because there's such a Muslim base there and so much antagonism toward any type of Christian life. But anyway, he said that they were bringing people that was possessed with devils over and over. I guess one day they just brought them one right after another. They was carrying them. They was helping them to walk. They were doing different things. And Brother Michael said, I was laying hands on these people and the Lord was blessing over and over and over, and said they were cast out, and said those people changed instantly. They were different. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is the only one that I know can do instantaneous stuff. Doctors can do things that can help people. Jesus can heal people, and they can jump out of bed and run, praise God, with no cast on their legs, no cast on their arm. They can get up and do things that nothing else can be done but by the very power of Jesus Christ. The people need to know this. I've seen them healed instantly at the altars. I know of a man in Kentucky. This had been a number of years ago. Somebody told me recently he was there that night. And old brother George Metcalf, he was born with a club foot. Matter of fact, I think he maybe had two of them. And he was there, and his sister was just like him. Both of them had the same problem. And brother, what was that preacher from Kentucky? Anyway, he was a real man of faith back there. I can't think what his name was. But anyway, he was there in this little old chapel building I preached in a number of times back years and years ago, and was there not too long back, the wife and stepdaughter and I, just to see the grounds and see it. And he was sitting there, and that brother anointed him and prayed for him, and the people said his feet just started turning right before everybody, straight like they ought to be, and he got up rejoicing and walked out of the building. His sister, that I knew also personally, we have taken her home from West Virginia or maybe other places, taken her back to where she lived. She wasn't healed. Now why, we don't know. But George was the one that had to make the living. George was the one that had to work the job. And maybe that's it. But anyway, instantaneously, his feet, they said the people started looking and they just saw them straighten up. The one that went to California from Wichita, brother that died. Who? No, he's, I can't think of his name. Taylor, Charles Taylor. He had a real problem too. And the same type of deal. They laid hands on him and prayed for him. And right before the crowd, everything straightened up and changed instantly. People need to know that Jesus can do instantaneous things, praise God. They need to know that he can do anything. People sit back and, I can't get no help. The doctors can't help me. The psychiatrist can't help me. This one can't help me. That one can't help me. I know somebody can help anybody. He has never shirked back yet. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth, and I'm able to do anything that you need me to do. We need to point that out to the people and let them know. All right, let's move on. Time's really getting away. Let's go to Luke, the 10th chapter, 28th verse. 10 and 28 here. All right, here is where the... let's go down to 30. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, was stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came by a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he just passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the same place, came, looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, and pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn, to an inn, and took care of him. When tomorrow he departed and took out 2 pence, gave it to the host, he said, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Which now of these three, I believe this was a lawyer was asking him questions here, and said, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy unto him, on him. Then said Jesus unto them, go. and do thou likewise. Now then, the bottom line was, the priest and the Levite should have been the ones that helped this man. But it wasn't. It was a man that was totally opposite, that was totally in totally disarray against one another, so to speak. And he was the one that stepped in and done it. He was the one that helped. I'm going to tell you, Lord, help us that we should not pass up again, pass up a situation whereby we can help somebody, whereby we can bless them. And they just passed on and didn't have no compassion, no love, no nothing. Can you imagine when this man stopped to help this man that he thought, this man's helping me? What about your enemies? What about those that are neighbors, maybe that don't like you or don't like me and so forth? And there gets to be a chance that you and I can step in and help them. Lord, help us to do what we can do. Use common sense here and use the leadings of the Lord and so forth. But listen, we have got millions and millions and millions of people that's wounded, not physically, but emotionally, mentally, wounded in their heart. There's people that's crying themselves to sleep at night. I have a burden for those that have lost their companion or lost anybody, as far as that goes, but mostly the companion over. I pray for all of them by the help of the Lord. I've got a list. It's so many I can't even remember all of them, so I have to look at the list after I go through everybody I can remember. And I have this list, and there's times I would sit there and I would cry over them knowing the pain that they're suffering. Lord, she lost her husband. Lord, he lost his wife. Lord, have mercy on them and help them. Listen, folks, those people that's out there that's been wounded in one way or another, they need a kind, loving word. They need us to pour in the healing as we can. The gospel. I was in Kentucky again. I used to go there a lot many, many years ago. And there, I knew that there was a couple that was going to have a baby. Though they had the baby, and the baby wasn't doing well. I think the next month I went back, that baby had died. I didn't know anything what I know today. I'd not lost any children. I've lost two twins now. I'd not lost a wife. I've lost a wife now. Hadn't lost my parents. Hadn't lost a sister. I've lost all of it. I've gone through it. I'm not bragging when I'm just laying out facts. And I'm walking up to these people, and they're devastated. And I'm thinking, Lord, what am I going to do to help them? Me, I ain't nothing. How can I help? He gave me a scripture. Said he healeth the broken hearts, broken in hearts, and binds up their wounds. And I walked up there, and as lovingly as I knew how, I handed it to him. What good it done, I don't know. But the bottom line is, he can bind, he can heal, he can do things with those broken hearts that nobody else can do. I've had him do it. I'd be crying and weeping. I've had him shut the tears off instantly. One time I was coming back from a place early in the morning, and I was crying. I said, Lord, she was only 59 years old. And the Lord stopped me right there. He said, age doesn't matter to me, child. It's eternity that counts. Eternity. In other words, age has no dealing here. The bottom line is, they're going to meet eternity. Are they ready? Are they not? Oh, that shut the tears off. That gave me things to think about. And I went on to the house dealing with it for however long. And I've used it in funeral messages and different times. The Lord has one thing in mind, and that's everybody to heaven. That's what he's interested in. Age doesn't matter, child. That's not it. Eternity that counts. All right, let's finish up. Time's gotten away. Let's go to Isaiah 6. Let's finish up in the 6th chapter. I love this chapter right here. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood 6 seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King. I've seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the serpents unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he'd taken with the tongues from the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And then get this right here. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Is that our cry this morning? Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, there's people out there that needs the gospel. There's people out there that needs comfort and encouragement. There's people that needs to be invited to meeting. Are we doing that? Are we saying, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, help us all. Help us all that we will do something for the Lord. That will be a blessing. There was a young man a number of years ago in a certain place. If I remember, it was a camp meeting. It had to be a camp meeting. And we were there, if I remember, that night. My brother was there. And there was a young man there. And he was under conviction, trembling, shaking. And he got up and he walked out of the chapel. My brother was right behind him. He said, don't leave this service. Let's go to the altar and get saved. He'd done everything he could do to get him to go. And he said, no. Craig was trying. Well, 2 weeks later, the Lord was still dealing with the young man. And the pastor, if I remember right, he had talked to him also in that period of time. Maybe more than once. He had come back to a service or two in that time. And then I was at the print shop, if I remember right. I was at the print shop when the call came. This young man was swimming. And either Cottonwood or the other, I think there's two up there at Guthrie. He was swimming and he got into a whirlpool deal and it sucked him under and drowned him and he was gone. Did he get saved? I don't know. But in the way that he kept rejecting Brother Leslie, my brother, and others, he didn't leave a resounding testimony of salvation. But I can't say definitely he was lost. I don't know for sure. But the bottom line is he lived about 2 weeks after the Lord was dealing with him in that chapel. And he went out into eternity. Here am I, Lord. Help me to be, how would you want to say this? Help me, Lord, to be right on time. If the Lord deals with you, and all right, I'll give you another hit. I'm trying to quit, folks. I'm trying to quit. Remember Brother Michael's son that drowned? They pulled him out of the lake up there at Stillwater. Got him on the bank. They worked with him. They couldn't do anything with it. They called for the EMTs to come, and they couldn't find the place, and they were however long getting there. Do you know what the Lord was doing that night? He was burdening somebody by the name of Sister Angela Gillenbeck, hundreds of miles from where he was, and burdening her for that man's soul. If I remember right, she either wrote this or she told me this personally. And she was responding. She got up out of bed, if I remember right. She got down and she started crying and praying and begging and pleading. She couldn't get to him, but she did everything she could do. If it's a prayer, all the way from two legs put on that prayer, all the way to that person, or anything in between, Lord, help us to respond and help us to go and do everything we can do. Pray for me. Appreciate your time and attention this morning.